What a pleasure to be with you at Circle Drive. Happy New Year. My name's Bob, and you did a great job introducing me. My title confuses myself, so I thought I'd boil it down to three simple things. The first is gospel multiplication in our district. New expressions of the gospel, reaching into dark places, hard places. So you saw Kirby and his work with the First Nations. I get the privilege of discerning and meeting with people that said, hey, I think God's given me an idea. I have a heart for this. And then walking alongside them and resourcing them and connecting them to other people that might be doing it. And so if you think new ventures, just think the multiplication of the gospel right in our provinces, right in Canada. And then if you think of the global piece, I get the privilege of being a missions mobilizer. Now, if anyone could actually do that job, that would be fantastic, yes. But what I do get to do is care for IWs and help churches make a connection and help them have a heartbeat for what God is doing in other nations. So that gives you a little picture of who I am. It's great to be with you this morning. I've titled my message, Sent and Sending. As the new year starts, I'm excited to see what God's going to do in 2026. Anybody else? Now, how many of you, your YouTube feeds or your social media stuff has had a best of 2025? Come on, you can participate. The kids are with us this morning. They want to see that you're engaged. And I got thinking about that, the best of 2025. If I think back, I can name a bunch of things. Things we prayed about, things we asked God for, experiences he granted us. And I see the extension of God's grace to us in 2025. Now, acknowledge fully that there was difficult things. We had grief, we had illness, we had challenges. It's not to blow past that, but to see, hey, as I look and my perspective is, God's grace was evidence to me. And I can put together a highlight reel for 2025. I need perspective as I make plans for 2026. Anybody here the New Year's resolution people? Okay, there's a few, or some of you just aren't stopped participating. Let's try it again. Anybody here New Year's resolution? No, just kidding. What we decide to focus on matters. And so today I want to go to three places in Scripture. And I want to remind you of the mission that we're all on together, of God's original intention around blessing and setting apart his people, of his commission as the relationship changes and we understand that we now are made right with God and he lives in us, and then a picture from the early church, how they lived that out. Sound like a plan? Okay, let's get rolling. If you have your Bibles, you can look at Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. What did God intend in this covenant relationship? Now, if you're not familiar with the Bible story, you know, we have creation where God created mankind in his image for a relationship with him. We have the fall of mankind where sin comes in, and there's a problem in the relationship we were created to experience. And now we have God enacting a plan to set apart for himself a people, and through that people, the redemption of the world. And so he goes to this man, Abraham, and you'll just read it together. The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. I love that we look at this and we go, okay, so God's intent right away wasn't just to bless them for blessing's sake. It wasn't so that they would hoard the blessing and it would be all about them. Have you ever heard this phrase? This is for you, but not about you. It's a great little thing to remember. That God's for you, but he's about a bigger thing, and he's inviting you into it. And so right from the beginning, the intention of God with this idea that he's going to set apart for himself a people, and they were going to be blessed, was that the rest of the world would be blessed through them. He himself would make them known in name and in numbers. It was clear in the passage that he said, I will do this, I will do that. What I'm calling you to is to be set apart for a reason as my children, to belong to me and just to say yes and follow me. And if you know your story, you know that Abraham went. And so this idea that you were blessed to be a blessing, that in a world where, and how many of you have traveled and studied a little bit about some ancient civilizations and seen where spirituality and fear get connected, and this appeasement of gods, where there's all these sacrifices, and God said, I am going to give you a model that when the whole world sees it, knows what it's like to have relationship with the one true God. And so I'm going to bless you that the world might be blessed through you. The identity set by God, the direction set by God. They don't have to make a name for themselves. They simply have to trust and to follow. And so he says, I will make you. This covenant relationship, ultimately, God was going to use to witness to the world. So it's great to know God's intention. And if you know the story of the Old Testament, it says over and over and over that they were to go into difficult places and go into wicked places, right? In Jeremiah, he says, you're even in captivity, you're in exile, and you're to bless the place that you're in, plant gardens, raise homes, but show the people around you what it's like, even under discipline, to live in true relationship with the living God. And so the theme continues, and if you were to do a word study and you were to jump into Isaiah and the Psalms and other places, it was clear that the world was to be affected and that you were to use that blessing to bless others. Well, we're going to fast forward to Matthew. We're going to drop in at the 28th chapter of Matthew. We're post the crucifixion, post the resurrection. Hundreds of people have seen Jesus, and he's meeting with his disciples, and he's sending them on mission. You can't help but think about that night in the upper room where he said, I'm going to have to go, but the Holy Spirit's going to come. And so we come to this really familiar passage we call the Great Commission. That now that the ability for relationship with God is there, now that the ability for him to indwell us, for us to stand right before God because of what Christ did on a cross for us, because that ability is there, has the mission changed? Has the blessing changed? Is somehow this all about us now? Where once we're in and once we've experienced it, once we're secure, we can just kind of huddle up and be okay? Well, that's not what Jesus says. He comes to them and he says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Well, let's just camp there for a minute. He starts with this all authority. Now, are any of you like me where when I'm told I'm supposed to do something, hey, you should do this, I'm like, who said? Anybody else? Anybody have that little rebellious streak in them? If somebody says, yeah, you should slow down, and you're like, are they in a police car? Do they have a uniform? Do I have to listen to you? And so Jesus says something really profound right off the top, because he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Okay, full stop. Whoa. This is someone with the right to direct us. This is someone who gave up the glory of heaven, humbled himself, became a servant, obedient unto the cross, did what we could not do, paid what we could not pay. It's accepted. The grave is empty. And now he's sending on mission, and he says, hey, I have the right to tell you this. I have the authority to direct. There's an expectation here that as participants in this blessing, this grace, there would be a response from us. Next, he says, the nations of the world and the peoples of the world matter to me, so now they matter to you. Now, go back to God's original intention, that the whole world will know, like, and when nations treat you well, I'm going to bless them, and when they don't treat you well, look out. And now he's saying the same thing. He's saying, all the nations of the world so matter, and I need you to go. They matter to me, and now they matter to you. And the instruction isn't vague at this point. He's sending them with a specific task and a calling, but he doesn't say, go and figure it out. He doesn't say, go and build what you think you would enjoy. He says, here's what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to come. Don't miss Acts 1:8, right? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. Meaning, something's going to happen. This presence, this living Spirit of God is going to be in you, and now I'm sending you out, and I have the authority to do so because of what I've done and because of the blessing you've experienced to be a blessing locally, nationally, internationally. And then he says, here's what I want you to do when you get there. Now, I like that it doesn't say, go and make converts. Right? It doesn't say, go and just make people who pray a prayer. We sometimes get focused on that, don't we? Numbers. The call is to go and to make disciples. You know what a disciple does? Well, they're in training, they're apprenticing, they're being equipped, and they're being released to do. I mean, it takes this passing on of a mission. It takes focus on spiritual formation. It takes a grounding and a growing. And the pattern is so simple. It says, when you understand what God did for you and respond to that, then get baptized. And your church practices that all the time, right? Make a public declaration of the internal reality. This is what God's done. I've died to my sin. I've been raised to life. And now my life is dedicated to Him, live for Him. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Oh, the pattern's just so relatable, right? Conversion, baptism, spirit empowerment. And there's a side note here. Did you ever stop to think that everything that matures reproduces? And so the mandate, the mission, the sending is to go and take this blessing that you've received and form it and develop it, but to pass it on to others. And then he says this, teaching them to observe. Now, if you came and looked in my garage, you would see an incredible mess, number one. But you would probably be able to walk around and go, oh, he likes his tools. I see some motorcycle stuff. You know what? I see what his hobbies might be from those woodworking tools over there. If you're going to somebody's home, you can probably go through and find out what some of their values are. I'll tell you what you love is actually quite evident in your life, because it comes out in your choices. And what you believe about where true life is found is shared with others. Here's a for instance. Anybody ever had somebody in your life tell you about an amazing diet they tried because it was working for them? Oh, what about a supplement? Yeah. Oh, what about, you've got to try this. And so what you believe about where life is found is evident to people around you, and it's shared with them. When it says teaching them to observe, I want to suggest that what you display, that how you talk, what's in your day timer and your bank statement, easily determines where your true priorities lie. And if you talk to the kids and you ask them what mom and dad really care about, you'll probably get an honest answer. Now, doesn't that just strike fear into the heart of every parent here? Don't do that. Because I want what I say or what I project to be what people get, not what I live. He says, teaching them to observe. You see, your peace, your abiding in Christ, your trust in the Father, even in the face of difficulty, is seen by people in relationship around you. How you serve, how you practice humility, the tenderness people experience when you walk alongside them, the grace that you extend to them when they sin against you, and the forgiveness that you receive and that you offer is an evidence. And so when he says, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, note he doesn't say your favorite traditions or practices that you just want to pass down. No, those aren't bad. Traditions, practices, they're all good things, right? We just came through Christmas. I love the Christmas Eve service. I got to go with my grandkids this year. I didn't hear a thing the guy said. I was just playing with my grandkids the whole time. But I've done a lot of Christmas Eve services, so I know the story. It says, teaching them to observe what I've commanded you. And that changes everything. Because the blessed ours aren't necessarily what our culture promotes. And some of our traditions are going to look different in different cultures. Scripture involves this huge idea of putting off the old and putting on the new, of being transformed from the heart out. And it says you're to teach the full counsel of God. You're not simply to repeat it and be aware of it. It says teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Not to be able to recite it, not to pass a test, not to say, yes, I know the information. Do you know how much information I have around diet and exercise? A lot. Anybody else? You could get it on the Google, right? And yet, ask me about my pattern and my practice of diet and exercise. Put a pizza in front of me and see what happens. He says, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Not simply be aware of, not simply repeat, but practice. Let's move ahead. I'm going to run out of time. We're in Acts. The church is up and running. The Holy Spirit's come. It says that thousands of people a day are being attracted to and receiving Christ and joining this new community of believers. Like, this thing is spreading like wildfire. And they are sharing things in common, and exciting stuff is happening. And let me tell you, when something new is going on and people are leading it, it's pretty important. And in Acts chapter 13, we find them getting together, and we find them doing the things that we should be doing, and listen to what it says. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they'd fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. All right, a couple things I just want you to see before we get to the so what. First, the passage is super specific about the gifting in the individuals. They give names, they say where they came from, who they were, and the role they had in the body, right? And so it's super interesting that they have identified the importance of these people to the life of the body and to what's happening. They're significant in the life of the church, and they have a role, they're leaders. Second, they were tuned to the heart of God. Don't you love what they're up to? They're meeting together, they're fasting, they're praying, they're listening to the Holy Spirit. They're doing all the right stuff in a sense where they're saying, where should we go, what should we do, what's happening? And then it's like it's tuning to the right radio station. With clarity, the Holy Spirit says to all of them, set apart for me these people. Interesting. See, the third thing I notice is there's two kinds of call in this passage. First, there's the specific call, set apart for me. Now, in my last pastorate in Cold Lake, it was a highly transient community. We had a lot of people with military and oil field there from about 3 to 5 years, and we got really used to the sending part. We used to be really angry at posting season that key players were getting moved on, until I kind of came to this understanding that perhaps God was just working through the different organizations, and that he was taking people who had been discipled and grown and was placing them somewhere. I love that in certain people's lives, there's a specific call to a people group or a place, and when that it comes, it's not happening in a vacuum. It's usually affirmed by the larger body. There's usually a process of testing that and going, are they set apart for this role? And as they say yes to Jesus, look at the support call. To set apart from your midst, to release, to send with a blessing, to support and to partner with. That when they've heard from the Holy Spirit and you've heard from the Holy Spirit, there's a specific call for them to move from this place to this place, but a specific call for you to send them with a blessing. Do you know what ends up happening? There's no lone rangers here. There's no one saying, hey, I heard something, and they just walk off and they leave the support. And they leave the prayer and they leave the accountability. That's huge. And so you see them saying, okay. There's two kinds of calls. There's a specific call on these specific people. There's a support role. There's a call for us to bless them and send them and hold the rope on our end. And then there's a shared cost. As I get to work with IWs and travel, I've been to a few of their prayer retreats over there, and as we sit and pray with them, one of the most common things I hear is prayer for their kids back home, prayer for their family back home, prayer for the loneliness, the significant moments that they're missing. There's a huge cost to them saying yes to God and going where they're called. As I visit in different congregations and they say, yeah, these people are from here, they start to talk about how much they miss them and how important their ministry and presence was, and yet how they know they need to send them. See, there's a shared cost, a separation of friends and family, holes in ministry to be filled, new gifts to be developed, and ongoing support in the new endeavor. And then lastly, I don't want you to miss this. There's a continued connection. As they continue to go, the Holy Spirit keeps directing them, and they're not getting second guessed back here. They're saying, hey, stay connected to the Father, stay connected. There's a continued connection where God is blessing for them to be a blessing, and he's directing and saying, I'm gonna take you here, I'm gonna take you here, I'm sending you here, and I'm using you in this way. Last thing, don't miss the John going to help. Now look at the rope back to the sending church. It says John goes for a while to help. He wasn't set apart to be a part of it all the way, but he went and helped them, and he reported back, and he was support that was sent for a certain period of time, and on behalf of the sending church, there he was. So let's ask the big question. Oh, wait, I didn't prep you for that. You should always ask, so what? Right? We've looked at three things in Scripture. Well, practically, how does that change anything for us? So let's ask the big question.
So what?
Yeah, so what? First, I don't want you to miss God's heart. He's for you. It's not simply just about you. He's blessed you so that you can be a blessing. There's a difference here between you being a dam that just continues to build up and get more and more and more, and being a river whose banks expand so that more flows through. You're called to be the river. Look at the language in Scripture. You're blessed to be a blessing. He says you're to be ambassadors for Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. What does an ambassador do? He represents. He says, we'll be lights that shine. Philippians 2:15. That you may be blameless and innocent children without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Lights that shine in the darkness. And then it says you're to be witnesses. Acts 1:8 again, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. God's heart is that you would be blessed to be a blessing. He's given clear parameters. He didn't say, go and figure it out. He didn't say, make it look the way you want. He didn't say, reproduce what you've experienced. He said, go and make disciples, people that know me and that mature and that make disciples. He sent us with all authority, given us clear instructions, and he says, you're not going to go alone. I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to empower you by the Holy Spirit. This is all connected. And then it's clear that the parts to play differ. Now, you don't have to be around my family long to know that all of the kids have different gifts. We all have some similar traits, but we all have different gifts. We're just not duplicates. We came from the same parents, but we have different gifts. We're raised in the same home, but we're not carbon copies of one another. You see, you're all called. You've all received this blessing, this grace of God that Jesus did on the cross. And you're called to be sons and daughters, to have a great inheritance. You're called to receive this incredible blessing and to grow and to learn and to be a part of the family of God. The gift's different. It says the Holy Spirit gives gifts as he determines. We're all part of this witness wherever it is God's planted you. Some, though, are set apart and sent, and some are in the support role. Neither is more valuable or less valuable. Sidebar, who's ever thought that missionaries or IWs are like here on the spiritual scale? Anybody thought that? Well, I know a bunch of them don't. They're just like you. They're wonderful. They're saying yes to Jesus. They have the same struggles you do. It's not a better or worse thing. They're set apart. We're called to participate. We're intentionally gifted by the Holy Spirit. And let me just give you this real quick. I'll say this. My time has run out. And the last time I was here, I was 8 minutes short. So I have 8 minutes in the bank. Just telling you. Acts 17 says that God knew the time and the place of your dwelling. He knew that you'd be in the Saskatoon area in 2026. And wherever it is you work and whatever it is you do, he knew that beforehand. And in Ephesians 2:10, it says he's prepared work for you to participate in. So if he knew the time and the place of your dwelling, and he's prepared works for you to participate in, all he's waiting for is you to turn into the right frequency, to respond by saying yes, and to get on mission. And in 2026, you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you can tune in and say yes. Practically, how are we going to live this out as a denomination? Three things I just want you to think about. The first, I called it pray, give, go. But the first thing I want to talk about just really quickly is global advance. You might see it on your giving information or on your, you know what global advance, like, let me dumb it down for you. We're really accountable. We can give you a whole pie chart and tell you where everything goes. Fundamentally, those people that have been set apart by God, where their congregation and them have said, the Holy Spirit has given us a heart for this culture and these people, and we would like to take and invest our lives in that. We want to go. They've been accountable to a process, and they're accountable to a whole denominational structure. And in the alliance, we've gone, hey, here's what we'll do. As a whole group of churches, we'll have this pot called Global Advance. And when these people are tested and approved, and the Holy Spirit says, this is what I want them to do, we're going to hold the rope on our end, and we're gonna pay for their health care and help them with their salary and equip them to do the ministry God's called them to do. And so one way for you to consider participating in the next year, and this is an opportunity, not an obligation. I'm not giving you some pitch. I'm saying pray about it and ask Jesus, do I need to start participating in this way by including global advance in my prayer, asking for the newsletter, in my participation financially, and in becoming more informed about what's happening around the world? Second, new ventures. You saw a little video there. I was going to tell a long story, but I'm out of time. Let me tell you about God is bringing exciting things to our province and our country. There are dark places where the expressions of the gospel don't exist. And we have people saying, hey, I think God's doing this. Help me discern. Help us find the Holy Spirit in this. And then resource us, partner us with some places where we could go to First Nations communities, where we could go north, where we could reach into the world of the Muslim community coming here, where we could meet with the Arabic community. Like, this is happening. And if God just excites your heart around that, man, there's a page on our website. You can see a bunch of the new ventures that we're doing, and you could pray about it and become a prayer supporter, maybe participate in some way, but you could put that into your giving as well. And finally, the go part, short-term teams hosting and blessing our IW workers. When we lived in Cold Lake, if you want to look at a map, the road goes like this and then goes that way. There's a huge lake and then an air weapons range, the largest one in North America. If you weren't coming to Cold Lake, you weren't passing through. Okay? So for 20 years, We didn't have the drop-by company. The only way people experienced our setting is if they intentionally came to experience our setting. And I can't tell you what it meant for them to meet the people I loved, to be engaged in the work that God was doing, and to smell the smells and see the sights. I loved showing off the airbase. I loved taking them fishing. Do you know how many of our IWs would love to be blessed by their church family? To have you come to a place you wouldn't be passing through, to put together a short-term team, and to go with a heartbeat. This is, we just want to pray in your place. We want to know what you face. We want to support you differently. But you're here on our behalf. Something to consider that perhaps God's putting on your heart. Hey, I still have 3 minutes in the bank, but I want to pray with you. Would you bow? So Holy Spirit, these are the things that you've put on my heart to share this morning. What a privilege to be in this place. Oh, would your blessing rest on Circle Drive Alliance? Would you bring forward people, Lord, who just find out about you, who say yes, who are baptized, who grow? Lord, would this be a disciple-making place? And Lord, would it be a sending place? Would we be willing to sacrifice, to support, and to send those you have set apart? And Lord, would we not forget? Would presence and them being here not, Lord, when they're gone from our presence, would we not forget? And would you remind us? Oh, Lord, bless this place. I thank you so much for the privilege to come and open your word. Now, Holy Spirit, take and do your work in the lives of people. And all God's people said, amen.